A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is 89.3 WHFR Dearborn, winner of the Spirit of College Radio Award, featuring local and independent artists.
Welcome to this first June edition of the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here. It is truly my pleasure to share some wonderfully exciting and insightful program opportunities. I know I say that every week, but I mean it every week. So we are excited to share some internal discussion today on an event. I call it an event. It's a program. It's called College Bound, the Hawk Advantage. And we're going to learn from the experts exactly what that is involving. Later in our show, we're going to be joined by Mayor Abdallah Hamoud, who will be sharing his State of the City address. It took place early in the week, and we are going to be presenting the State of the City speech portion in its entirety. If you happen to be there live at the event, it was lovely. There was music and dancing and just a celebration of the city of Dearborn. And I think you're going to truly enjoy the commentary from Mayor Abdallah Hamoud in his first official State of the City address since taking office. But before then, College Bound, the Hawk Advantage. I love every one of those five words. Every one of them is wonderful. So let's bring in the experts. We're joined today in studio by the HFC Director of Admissions and Recruiting, Tracy Perry, as well as the HFC Director of K-12 Relations, Taria Kindred. And both of these gals are here to talk about this program. Ladies, welcome. So happy to have you here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. As we learn about opportunities for students, potential prospective students, to connect with HFC, I know there are a myriad of programs out there, a myriad of ways that people discover the college, but boy, this one seems very, very special. Who wants to start by giving us a little bit of background on how College Bound, the Hawk Advantage, came to be, and then we'll kind of define it as well.
Sure. So the Michigan Community College Association received a grant from the state to offer some programming over the summer for students who may have had learning loss because of COVID. But fortunately, this opportunity is not only open to recent high school graduates, but anyone who is looking to enter college for the first time and have their high school diploma or GED. So the goal is for the Henry Ford program is to give them opportunity to sort of test drive college, get some supports in place to make sure they're ready for those first level math and English courses. We'll also give them some informational sessions just to make sure that once they enter college, they're ready to be successful in terms of knowing about the resources available to them, how to use the library, how to register for classes, how to get any necessary supports they need once they come to college, whether that be Henry Ford or any college.
Lovely, lovely. Tracy, as the Director of Admissions and Recruiting, you're seeing this from a slightly different perspective, but the goals are all the same, aren't they?
Correct. So our students, so like Taria said, that they don't necessarily have to be coming to Henry Ford in the fall, but our hope is that if they have not made up their mind, that we can help them make a decision, of course. And as the Director of Admissions and Recruiting, we want to make sure that they have all the resources, know how to apply, and if there's any questions along the way, there's a resource for them as well.
Okay, so we're kind of planting seeds, but at the same time, we're cultivating those seeds as well, should they sprout in time to potentially join us in the fall.
Correct.
But either way, planting seeds is a wonderful thing to do. As we look forward to this specific program, and we know that it is being described as a short, free summer program. Short and free, we love those two words, especially in combination, especially
yes.
If we're thinking about something that could be a little bit intimidating.
Right.
And because I think the target demographic here is potentially people that are a little intimidated about this, keeping it short, keeping it free, well, we've already sort of blown over a couple of hurdles. So, Taria, tell us a little bit about what we would expect in this session. How many people can we potentially bring in? And, you know, what do you view as a successful event?
So we're going to have three different sessions, three different three-week sessions, as you said. And then in those sessions, individuals will have some English and math support, like I said, to build up their skills in those informational sessions. But we're also putting in wraparound services to meet their needs. So, you know, they'll have transportation support if they need it. If they're on campus, they'll be provided breakfast and lunch. We also have an online option for individuals who can't make it to campus with also opportunities for additional supports. And so in terms of numbers for each session, we're looking at hopefully serving between 80 and 100 per students. And so they can sign up now on our HFC website. And so, you know, our goal is to meet capacity and serve as many people as we can. So if anyone is interested, we recommend that they sign up as soon as possible.
Okay. And signing up by heading to the website?
Yes. So they can go to the HFC website. On our homepage, there's a banner right there that they can see and click to get to the specific page for the College Bound Hog Advantage program. And from there, they can click a link to sign up. And that's all they need to do. And then we'll be in touch with them with next steps.
Okay, it's amazing. You mentioned free breakfast and lunch, potentially free transportation. I'm sure there is some tech support and technical items available as well. Again, sort of overcoming those hurdles, breaking those barriers. Many students, as we know, struggle during the summer months because they're not getting the free lunch programs, the free breakfast programs, things like that. And other people are just having a hard time. And so college is one of the last things we can think about. We can't possibly do that. We have to manage all these other things. But taking, as you said, potentially 2 weeks, right? Or up to three, is it a full three weeks?
It's a full three
full
weeks.
3 weeks. Thank you.
Monday through Thursday.
Got it. That's it. So Monday through Thursday, a full, that's 12 days. Let's think about that. Not in succession, but 12 days to really see if this option, life-changing, potentially life-changing option, is for someone, as you mentioned, sort of test driving, that love it with our future-driven
yes.
mindset and so on. You've really kind of thought of everything here. Now, oftentimes, and this would be something, Tracy, that perhaps you can address, oftentimes we have people that we all do it. I don't want to call them excuses. They're reasons, but sometimes they turn into excuses because we talk ourselves out of the fact that we think we can do something. We think we just, nope, can't do it. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. I'm going to get an E. I'm not going to pass. What's it going to do to my GPA? You know, that kind of stuff. Not the right time. How are you addressing those types of things in this program?
So one of the things with the program is the additional, well, the English and math courses that students will have, they're not for credit. So that takes a lot of the nervousness out. How well would I do? I don't know if college is right for me. So they get to test drive without any pressure. So they don't have to worry about grades or for credit. Secondly, we have our staff and support. So not only are we they're going to have instructors, they're going to have mentors who will act as tutors while in the class and during a lunch and study session that they'll have at the end of the day as well. And just for that doubt that they might have, we have also hired coaches, that rah-rah support mm-hmm. system. So students, you know, they'll follow up with them to see if, you know, if they have issues or if they hadn't made it to class, you know, where are you? You can do it. And that additional support. And we're going to have those team building activities too, because a lot of times when students go to college for the first time, they feel like they don't know anyone. So if we have these team building activities, I told them they're already going to know someone on campus. Mm. I spoke to one student. I went to a class and talked to some students, and he said he was definitely coming to HFC in the fall. I was like, well, you already know someone. He was like, no, I don't. I'm like, me, you met me. I'm in the Welcome Center. Just come and say hi and tell them you're looking for Tracy Perry. So it's just having that familiarity when they get to college and having those resources. In addition, talking about technical support in the math and English courses, we have software that will assess students where they are. And then have additional areas where they can work on where their deficits might be mm-hmm. in and outside of the classroom. So we're just going to wrap everything up so that students can, for one, not have the pressure and the stress and the resources that they need to feel comfortable.
Okay.
And
please.
As Tracy mentioned, the software, they will continue to have access to that software for an entire year. So they can continue to build on their skills with those adaptable lessons in that software. And then also to eliminate another barrier, because we're talking about technology and software, if they sign up for the program, they will get access to a Chromebook with built-in Wi-Fi. So they don't have to worry about internet access or having a laptop. And the good thing is they'll have internet service for months after the program. And if they enroll at HFC, that laptop is theirs to keep.
Wow. This is getting better and better the more we're talking about. So let's keep talking. We're joined with Tracy Perry and Taria Kendred, both representing College Bound, the Hawk Advantage program, a short, free summer 2023 program to prepare you for college, potentially in the fall. And boy, everything I'm learning just, I don't want to say it sounds too good to be true, because it's true. So that much we know. And again, what a wonderful outreach for Henry Ford College prospective students. We go from some people would call it an early morning start, and then we work our way into like an early afternoon. Can we talk about the day, what's involved in the day, so that literally if we've got somebody kind of, I'm thinking about this, I'm on the fence, but what am I signing up for here?
So our in-person students, they will start as early as 8:15 in the morning. That's when the breakfast starts. So from 8:15 until around 9 o'clock, breakfast ends, and then they'll alternate their English and math courses from 9 to 11. So say for one group, English may be Monday and Wednesday, and the math is Tuesday and Thursday. Then, as Taria mentioned, the information workshops, those are from 11:15 to 12:15. So being successful for college, learning about transferring, financial aid, all those different workshops, library services that students will have so they'll know what to do in the fall. And then from Monday through Wednesday, from 12:30 to 2, we'll have what's called lunch and study, where students will have access to those mentors that we talked about. They'll have lunch. There might be some team building activities as well as drop-in sessions and advising. So we're going to have advisors and people in our enrollment services staff on the ready to take those students for any questions or help them along the way. And then on Thursdays from 11:15 to 2 o'clock, it's just going to be lunch and a whole bunch of team building activities so that students can get to know each other, get to know campus, and feel comfortable.
Wow. We talk about networking and team building and all of that, and the story of the student that now knows you, and some of the people that I'm sure are going to be participating on the college end are going to be, not unlike you, important people to know, you know, if you are going to be, in fact, coming over to Henry Ford College. And I think about the average student that comes in going through the traditional channels. They don't necessarily get to meet all these sort of, dare I say, like, high-end, high level of power, importance, but really nice, you know, all that kind of thing. So, boy, that is truly an advantage right then and there, isn't it?
Definitely.
Wow. Yeah. As we look into the ideal student, the potential best-case scenario of who you're looking to attract, Can we share that ideal? It sounds like this is open to just so many varieties of potential students, but who is this designed for, if you will?
I would say that it's designed for everyone, anyone. Anyone who, again, is entering college for the first time, we want you to come. We welcome you. It's not limited by age or any other factors. If you're interested, if you want to test drive college, come to our college. Mohawk Advantage Summer Program is for you.
That's tremendous. In terms of needing to present anything, materials, transcripts, grades, showing an ID of where you live or anything like that, what's involved there? Like, what are some of sort of the literal components that a potential student will find when they come to sign up through our website?
So when they sign up for the website, we're just collecting their demographic information, such as their name, their contact information. And then for the actual program itself, we're not asking for anything other than if you're going to need access to the Chromebook or need the Chromebook, we will need some type of identification just to verify who you are. We're trying to make it as easy and simple as possible.
Yeah. Can someone sign up for a specific session based on their schedule?
Yes. So when they sign up on the website, there is a first, second, and third choice option. And so students can give us their preference, and then we'll try to accommodate them as much as possible based off how full the class or the session is.
Got it. And again, the first one is right around the corner, actually. So June 12th through the 29th, session 2, July 10th to July 27th, and then the third one, late summer, July 31st to August 17th.
Correct.
So, yeah, three options definitely available there. When we get into sort of the nuts and bolts of will we be sitting in classrooms, will we be meeting in meeting rooms, will we be lunching in the cafeteria, is all of that going to be kind of, again, showing that peak that test drive, as you say, into what college in general and college here at HFC is going to look like.
Absolutely. So their classes will be in an actual HFC classroom where they would normally take their classes in the fall if they enroll and register. And then their informational sessions will be in some of our lecture halls, so they'll be able to see what the regular classroom looks like, what the lecture hall looks like. And then in terms of lunch, they will be in the cafeteria, so they'll get to see that kind of the student center aspect of the college as well.
Wonderful. I have a feeling they might meet maybe a president or a vice president or something along those lines, potentially along the way.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. We know who those people are.
Right.
We know that they like to be hands-on, so that's a good thing. Ladies, so grateful for your time today. College Bound, the Hawk Advantage Program. Tracy and Taria, both of you are in a level of service to our students, both current and potential students. We talk about this topic. I think it came out of the pandemic, but maybe it should have, probably was around a long time before that. We just didn't focus on it as much. And it's that concept of self-care, taking care of you, because frankly, we are our own best advocate. We're the one that needs to take care of ourselves. And oftentimes when we think of things like self-care, we think of getting enough rest, you know, staying hydrated, making sure we're not overly stressed. But something like this, this Hawk Advantage, talk about self-care, you know, tied up with a nice little bow. So thinking of it from that angle, you know, you deserve an opportunity to see what this is like. And I suspect that the motivation for both of you involved in this program probably taps into that a little bit. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes. Just speaking of, because I have received quite a few calls from students as well. And one student, because we sent out postcards throughout the community, and she called and she was like, I've been thinking about, you know, one of your programs for quite some time. I've been out of school for a while. I'm really nervous. And I had to do some coaching over the phone then, you know, telling her to just to test drive it, try it out. And that, she, like you said, she deserves this opportunity. And let's see where it takes us. And hopefully, you know, in the fall, you'll be an HFC student. So she was really excited about it and, you know, thanked me for the encouragement. And I think, like, you know, Taria said, those types of students would really benefit, the ones with a little bit of self-doubt or just nervousness of what to expect.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity. It's free.
Nothing to lose, everything to gain, right?
Nothing to lose. And the other benefit also is if students participate and complete the program and enroll at HFC, we're also providing an opportunity for them to receive a $400 account credit that could go towards tuition or books or fees that they may have.
Mm, that, a Chromebook, and probably a cool shirt.
They will get a cool shirt.
Yeah.
They also will get a book bag and some school supplies.
Ooh. We love the swag. We do. It's a reason to enroll right there, I tell you. Well, this sounds fantastic. Again, going to the HFC website, look for that banner, College Bound, the Hawk Advantage. Click on that, and you'll find what you need. Tracy, you've been with us we'll call it a little while now here at Henry Ford College. Not too long, but long enough. Taria is our newest, right? Is she our newbie, or were you?
About a week different.
No.
Yes.
Really? That's fascinating. But you came first, right?
Yes.
Okay. So she's the older sister here.
She is.
I didn't realize. You've been moving and shaking since you've been here. It seems like almost like forever, even though I know it's been newer. That's a testament to you. And Taria, what's been the experience like so far?
So far it's been a great experience. I think having this role, fill the director of K-12 relations, and having a point of contact or liaison for our secondary schools has been wonderful. I've been getting emails and phone calls and able to address questions and concerns from both school staff, parents, and students. So I just think it's been a great opportunity to eliminate some of the barriers, some of the confusions and questions within our community and our secondary partners so that students have that smooth transition once they graduate from high school and then also are aware of their opportunities to take college classes and have college opportunities while still in high school and our other programs.
Yeah, and there's no doubt the two of you must work side by side in so many of these things.
Yes, we collaborate a lot.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Tracy, what has been your experience so far and anything that you're looking to the future on, little tease on something else that might be coming forward? We don't want you to tip all your cards, of course. But.
Well, no, there's another summer program that I'm currently working on that the state has also helped with, and that's for the Michigan Reconnect. So across the state, community colleges are going to have, it's the week of the July 17th, they're going to have on-site sessions for students 25 and older looking to go back to school to talk more about Michigan Reconnect. So we're going to have two sessions, one that Monday and one that Thursday. One is going to be online, one is going to be in person. And then, of course, we're still going to have our enrollment staff and advising there to assist students and maybe some resources for those working adults learning, wanting to go back to school and not knowing about child care and things of that nature.
Awesome.
And another thing, speaking of presidents who are very active, I've been going on somewhat of a road tour this winter semester with President Russ Calahuna, and we've visited maybe five schools so far, and we're looking to do more of that in the fall. So if anyone is looking to have the president come and throw some t-shirts and some hats in the audience and talk to students about HFC or just going to college in general, they can reach out to me and I can set that up for them as well.
Excellent. How might someone that is looking for some very specific information reach both of you aside from the basic site with collegebound at hfcc.edu?
So if they're looking for information about College Bound, the summer program, they can send an email to collegebound@hfcc.edu, like you said. Mm-hmm. If we have any of our secondary partners looking to reach me directly, they can call me at 313-845-6470.
Thank you.
And any questions about admissions or recruiting or, again, having Russ come to their school, then we can they can reach me at 313-845-9695.
Okay, Russ and you.
Yes.
Not just Russ.
No, not just.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he'd be fine, but it's better with, yeah.
Yes.
This is all good. This is wonderful. College Bound, the Hawk Advantage. Thank you so much for your time, ladies. Great success with this program. I know it's going to be wonderful. We'll hope to have you back and kind of debrief from how it went and talk about, again, upcoming opportunities moving forward. Continuing to check that website is a great way to do it, though, here at hfcc.edu, because there really is always something exciting going on. No rest for the weary, but we really want you to be a part of the Henry Ford Hawk Advantage in some form or another. So thank you for your time. Happy summer.
Thank you.
We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, along with Tracy Perry, Director of Admissions and Recruiting, and Taria Kendra, Director of K-12 Relations. More after this. Stay with us.
Do you hear those noises? Those are the sounds of Thematic, hosted by Phil Mack, expanding to 4 hours. From 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Wednesday afternoons. Excuse me, I have to talk to the construction crew. Hey, can you make sure there's plenty of room for new music and new artists? Yeah? Well, make it bigger than that. Make sure to save some space for a few classic songs, too. Don't forget to add some areas for interviews and countdowns and every single genre you can think of. And then add more. Can you guys stop for a moment? Because this is the most important thing. Make enough room for all listeners to fit. That's Thematic every Wednesday from 12 to 4 p.m.
Welcome back. This is the WHFR Journal. My name is Alan Mazurek with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Kitty Love coming up at that time with a trip down Highway 61. We'll have some blues this Friday afternoon here on WHFR Making Waves. We're going to turn our attention in this next segment to Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud's first State of the City address, which was held last week Tuesday, May 23rd. Mayor Hamoud delivered the speech at the Ford Community and Performance Art Center, his first since taking office in January of 2022. His speech was entitled Always Bet on Dearborn, and the mayor talked about people from around the world choosing Dearborn to lay down roots, start businesses, and pursue lifelong opportunities because it is the safest bet anyone can make. The speech was live-streamed and delivered to an audience of about 500 people at the Michael A. Guido Theater. Hamoud presented his optimistic picture of Michigan's seventh-largest city, unveiling a new vision statement and five strategic priorities to guide his administration's work. We have just enough time to squeeze it in, so we're just going to jump right into it and introduce the mayor of Dearborn, Abdullah Hamoud, and his State of the City address, his first State of the City address given last Tuesday here on today's WHFR Journal.
Thank you so much. Please be seated. I want to take a moment to just thank the performers, the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, the Dearborn Youth Theater, and the Vanguard Voices. Let's give them another round of applause. And before I begin, I actually want to take a moment I'm going to ask my wife, who's not aware that I'm going to do this, to ask her to please rise and be recognized. For those who have never met my wife, Dr. Fatma Beydoun, the only reason I'm able to do what I do is because I have someone like this at my side. And without her, nothing would be possible. So I thank you for being the greatest mother, the greatest wife out there. So thank you for all that you do. My daughter is not here because I don't think I can convince her to sit down for 45 minutes. Fortunately, you all have to. And so, but we're excited to be here. You know, we have a surprise for folks. And so what I'm hoping is that you stick around after the event. And so we appreciate you kind of working with us to get through this. And the other surprise is for those of you who have pulled up in a Dodge Charger or Challenger, the surprise is the Dearborn Police has already confiscated your vehicle. And that message was brought to you by Ford Motor Company. All right. You know, whether you're joining via live stream or here in the theater, you're joining on a Tuesday evening because you're invested in the city's success. So to all the community members in attendance today, consider this a progress report from your government, because this city belongs to you. And we at City Hall serve at your pleasure. You just heard from our Council President, Mike Cerini. And one thing I appreciate about Mike is he's never once tried to soften our ambitions. He asks the hard questions, but it's always to move us forward. And as a city government, we have big dreams. And realizing those big dreams simply isn't possible without a willing partner in the city council. So I want to thank the whole city council for embracing change and not letting fear hold us back. And when I think about this, I think about someone like Bob Abraham, the dean of our council, the longest serving member of this body. We've had our share of tense debates, but your passion and willingness to embrace positive change has been a breath of fresh air. And so I want to ask the council to please rise and be recognized. Tonight is an opportunity to give the people we serve an update on what we've done, where we're headed, and most importantly, what we believe in. In Dearborn, we're blessed to have passionate involvement from the community, which is why some of you didn't wait until the state of the city to tell us how we're doing. In fact, here are just a couple examples. The first, love to see our new mayor hit the ground running. Dearborn's future is brighter than ever. Then it gets a little more interesting. Better chance for a dinner date with Halle Berry at Howell's before there's tent camping again at Camp Dearborn. And possibly my favorite, pure stupidity. Free Wi-Fi and aging basic city services? WTF are you thinking? How about fix the city and lower taxes instead of spending stupidly? Thank you. That's my counsel. In all seriousness, this feedback from the community matters, even the ones with a little extra seasoning. When I took my oath, I promised that we would govern side by side and the people we serve. And what I've learned over a year into this work is that when in doubt, betting on the people of Dearborn is the safest bet anyone can make. In the most difficult moments of this new administration, it's a bet that's paid off time and time again. I've already seen countless examples of Dearborn residents governing with us, guiding us and educating us. So when we talk about our wins, they truly are our wins. We will always lift up the citizen leaders who hold us accountable every day, who bring their ideas and their expertise to City Hall, and who help make us better. We're blessed to have citizen leaders joining us this evening, people like Abbas Al-Haj Ahmed. Abbas is a brilliant professor who wants to help improve people's lives. In response to the opioid crisis, Abbas volunteered to educate the community about Narcan, a life-saving drug that reverses opioid overdose. And thanks to his leadership, this critical health information traveled across our city in multiple languages, modeling what accessible government looks like. Abbas, please stand and be recognized. Citizen leadership is Colleen Johnson. Colleen is a longtime resident of the Dearborn Hills neighborhood, where she not only serves as a City Beautiful Commissioner, but she's also someone who advocated for new baseball fields at Levegood Park. For those who don't know, Divine Child is a baseball powerhouse that we're proud of. And because of Colleen's leadership, the Fields of Dreams are near complete. Colleen, please stand and be recognized. Many of you may have heard me of speaking to something called the Dearborn Advantage. It's our framing to the question of, what is the advantage to being a Dearborn resident? And I'm here to say that it starts with our people. This is a city of 110,000 that feels like a small town. A city that has welcomed folks from every corner of the globe with wide arms and an open heart. Whether you're a third-generation auto worker who grew up in the South End and migrated west, whether you can trace your roots to Italy or Yemen, Poland or Iraq, people of all walks of life have bet on Dearborn. And as they will tell you, it is the safest bet anyone can make. And starting last year, you took a bet on me. Holding this office has been the greatest privilege of my life. And what drives me every day is knowing that the community that raised me also put its faith in me. I'm speaking today as mayor, but at my core, I'm just Abdullah from Dearborn, a kid who grew up on Appaline Street and went to Woodworth Middle School and the greatest high school in all the land, Fortson High School. If you're not certain, I'm the one in the middle. I've had the same order at Tahamas for decades. You know, I've committed my life to this work because I want every kid who grows up in the city to feel that Dearborn advantage. The way this community lifts you up and puts you on its shoulders. And so our work started with your voice. We gathered feedback from thousands of residents and hundreds of city employees to gauge people's hopes and aspirations, to address the thing that keeps folk up at night. We took that feedback and set a clear North Star for our administration. Here is our vision. Dearborn is where new beginnings meet lifelong opportunities, where city government draws on the passion and creativity of residents to foster healthy neighborhoods, thriving businesses, and excellent public service. This is a Dearborn we can all be proud of, and a Dearborn where when my daughter grows to an age where she has to consider what city to start her family in, not looking forward to that day, it's hopefully she's going to actively choose Dearborn because of the work that we have done today. Based on our vision, we identified 5 strategic priorities to secure the future and prosperity of our city. Innovative government, civic engagement and democracy, economic opportunity and mobility, a green and healthy Dearborn, and safety and justice for all. You can think of our vision statement as the final destination, and these priorities are the directions to help us get there. So we started right here in City Hall by asking the question, how can we make City Hall a place that keeps up with our residents rather than slow them down? What does it mean to have an innovative government? How can we transform customer service so that when you come to City Hall with a question or problem, you leave City Hall with an answer and a solution? One of our first actions was to create the Community Relations Department to manage and centralize all citizen feedback and to create a one-stop shop call center for residents to ask questions and get support. 313-943-2150. Gone are the days of residents flipping through the city calendar to find the right number to call, stuck in a maze of bureaucracy. Gone are the days in which you need a WASTA or a personal connection to get help in the city. I'm here to announce that effective immediately, the entire city is granted WASTA for any and all city services. But more than that, we set out to bring City Hall into the 21st century with a once-in-a-generation investment in our IT infrastructure. We asked a bigger question. Why should the public sector always lag the private sector in terms of being innovative and pioneering new ways to do business? Why should our residents not be able to track a permit from the comfort of their home? We asked why a city that is so driven has to use a website from the 90s. And as much as we love seeing you at City Hall, we know how hard it is to leave your kids, your families, and your daily lives just to do business with the city. That's why this past February, we announced a truly groundbreaking partnership with Google to make the city of Dearborn a 24/7 service provider, allowing residents and businesses to use our services in multiple languages from anywhere they wish. As we speak, our partners at Google are building a state-of-the-art city website and constructing several new tools that will be fast, secure, and extremely helpful to visitors. I also want to share how we at the City of Dearborn are helping Google. We're all familiar with the translation services offered by Google. Well, to improve accuracy, Google's language model will be learning from us on how best to translate from English to Arabic, taking real-life examples to teach its systems and to provide better translation services for all. That is pretty powerful. Google is also enhancing our cybersecurity profile and ensuring that our data is protected. Ultimately, these upgrades are not about getting newer versions of older things. They're actually about getting smarter, faster, more efficient, and more helpful to the people that we serve. Google has bet on Dearborn because betting on Dearborn is the safest bet anyone can make. I'd like to ask the Googlers in the audience to stand and please be recognized. Now, our greatest asset within the walls of City Hall is our workforce. Your local government is run by people, dedicated public servants, who wake up every morning asking how they can make this city better. The DPW crews who plow the snow, who fix water main breaks in the middle of the night. The Parks and Rec employees who run this incredible center and theater. The accountants and attorneys and maintenance staff. The folks in the powerhouse across the street making sure the lights stay on, and countless, countless others. It takes hundreds of people working hand in hand to keep the city running, to uphold the standard of excellence our residents expect and deserve. All the city workers in attendance today, please stand and be recognized. And thank you for betting on Dearborn each and every single day. As an administration, one piece of feedback we got is that people wanted more opportunities to gather and enjoy community events. During certain times of the year, folks were driving to other cities to get the amenities that they wanted. So we immediately set out to change that. In fact, my sister-in-law, Hanan, calls my wife on a weekly basis. And she brags about all the things there are to do in a city called Northville and the family-friendly events constantly hosted in Northville. And so those who know me, you know I'm extremely competitive. And so what I want to declare is that we're coming for you, Northville. And let it be known that Dearborn is the capital of family-friendly events, and we're here to claim it. We hosted the first ever Haunted Trail, which drew over 10,000 people of all ages to Ford Field Park. We organized the first ever Dearborn Detroit Community Block Party to bring together two cities who for too long were just neighbors on a map, but were far from being neighbors at heart. In this very theater, we hosted the first ever World Cup watch party, which drew over 3,000 sports fans and created an electric atmosphere that we will remember for a lifetime. We revamped our Christmas tree lighting ceremony by replacing our tree with a 30-foot white fir that will forever symbolize the magic of a Dearborn Christmas. This past month, we hosted the first ever Eid breakfast to cap off the truly special experience that is Ramadan in Dearborn. And we even hosted our first ever Ramadan Nights Festival, which attracted over 40,000 residents throughout the course of the month. Every one of these new events was free and open to all, because we believe Dearborn is about making priceless memories, and because, frankly, we're painfully aware of how much you already pay in taxes. At the same time, we brought back cherished community staples like the Memorial Day Parade and the Homecoming Festival, events that signaled that normalcy was back after a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. Although I had a blast at Homecoming, and many were not happy about the new location, which I remind you, we chose because of the flooding at Ford Field. Some residents even boycotted the event. We joke about it, but we took your feedback and your criticism seriously. And we're excited to know that Homecoming will be coming home to Ford Field this August. And I want to recognize our DPW crews who've been working year-round to help remove log jams in the Rouge River. They've made incredible progress, and they deserve a round of applause. And we just wrapped up the bid process where we will be expending nearly $1 million and removing log jams across the Rouge River, securing the future of this waterway and helping us control flooding in the years to come. Last summer, we made pools free to all Dearborn children under the age of 13, which will be continuing this year and beyond. When our young people grow older and look back to their Dearborn upbringing, I want them to remember the fun of a Dearborn summer, not what it cost. We invest in these events and gatherings and public spaces because when you bring together people from all different backgrounds and life journeys, it is an investment in democracy itself. When you give people the space to work, play, eat, converse, and exercise amongst one another, you create lasting bonds between neighbors. And what is Dearborn if not one giant exchange of culture and connection? This past March, we announced a $30 million investment in our parks to foster exactly this type of connection. We're calling this our Peace Parks Initiative. Peace, standing for Parks Equity and Access for Citizen Engagement. We're investing in parks because there is no problem we face that can't be helped with more green spaces throughout our city. From flooding to sustainability to public health to economic development, parks are the connective tissue of our public square. They green and beautify our neighborhoods, they improve our mental and physical health,
They raise property values and attract investment. The benefits of a world-class city park system are truly endless. And we have a responsibility to heal the scars of heavy industry so that Dearborn can remain a healthy, beautiful city for generations to come. As part of this investment, we'll be putting millions into brand new basketball courts and soccer fields, improved lighting, upgraded pavilions and rental spaces, building new rain gardens, and finally putting in accessible playscapes so that children of all ability levels can fuel their imaginations together. The Peace Parks Initiative... The Peace Parks Initiative will also invest millions to improve Camp Dearborn, because under this administration, Camp Dearborn is here to stay. This summer will mark Camp Dearborn's 75th birthday. It will be celebrating by bringing back the July 4th fireworks show that so many of us remember from our childhood. For 13 years, the sky above Camp Dearborn has been dark on the 4th, and we look forward to lighting it up once again, because Camp Dearborn's renaissance starts now. We brought this $30 million investment to our city without asking for a penny in additional tax dollars from our residents. But there's one final piece that I haven't mentioned. We announced that we will be building three brand new parks in the city, one in the west downtown, one in the east downtown, and one in the south end. But as you're about to see, these aren't just any parks. These new parks embody the future we want for our city, a city that is green and innovative, communal and connected. And thanks to our partners at Imagine Design, we're bringing three unique experiences to our city. See for yourself. To ask the team at Imagine Designs, Jack and Carly Kelly, to please stand and be recognized. And I'd also want to acknowledge the leadership of our partners at Wayne County who helped make this dream project a reality. Wayne County Executive Mr. Warren Evans, Deputy Executive Asad Turfi, Wayne County Commissioner Sam Baidoon, please stand and be recognized. Dearborn is grateful for your leadership and your partnership. Each of these parks will transform our downtowns, bringing foot traffic, creating microeconomies, outdoor events, and so much more. Ultimately, what we're building is a landscape of opportunity. opportunity for children, opportunity for businesses, opportunity for families, for job seekers, for everyone to rise above their economic station and create prosperity as they define it. And we want folks to achieve this dream without ever having to leave city limits. Dearborn's economy begins and ends with its people. You are the economy. So when we invest in our people, we're also planting the seeds of a prosperous future. And we believe opportunity should begin the moment you're born into a Dearborn household. That's why this last year we became the first city in Michigan to create an endowment fund to bring the Dolly Parton Imagination Library to thousands of Dearborn families. This life-changing program... This life-changing program provides all Dearborn children aged 0 through 5 a free book every month mailed to their house, so that by their fifth birthday, they will have their own little library. And as of this morning, in 7 short months, we've distributed 12,538 free books to nearly 2,000 children across our city. I would love to ask the Amity Foundation to please rise and be recognized, and thank you for your partnership in this endeavor. The benefits of early childhood literacy cannot be overstated. Literacy means better reading scores, higher earnings, better health, and a new generation of leaders to one day lead our democracy. It also means that in bilingual households, both child and parent can learn a new language at the same time and strengthen family bonds through the journey of lifelong learning. Dolly Parton bet on Dearborn because it is the safest bet anyone can make. We also know our students and young people are amongst the brightest and hardest working in the nation. They are driven, smart, innovative, and they bring enough Dearborn hustle to power our economy for generations. If you asked me to place a bet on where a young person could start with little to nothing, and in one generation build a successful business that breaks the cycle of poverty, I'm betting on Dearborn each and every single time. Dearborn is the talent hub of the state of Michigan. We are one of the youngest cities in Southeast Michigan, where nearly 40% of our population is under the age of 24. And you won't find many cities in our state or across the Midwest that grew 12% in the last decade. We're the only K-14 school system in the state of Michigan. So while the country continues to debate tuition-free community college, we've been doing it for decades. Our students are able to graduate high school with an associate's degree at no additional cost to them. So if you're a company anywhere within driving distance of Dearborn, you're gonna want that Dearborn hustle in your organization. You want access to our young, energized, and growing workforce. And we're investing in our people like never before. Our partnership continues with Google and our community partner, Access, to provide 500 Google training certificates to Dearborn residents to help secure the tech jobs of the future. And in the coming weeks, we'll be announcing several cross-sector partnerships designed to harness Dearborn's people power to pave lasting pathways of opportunity. We're also blessed to have one of the most resilient and prosperous small business economies in Michigan. Thanks to our small businesses, Dearborn has a national reputation as a center of culinary excellence. In Dearborn, you'll never find lettuce in a shawarma, because we know what we're doing. And when you open a restaurant or any type of business, we no longer just simply hand you a CFO and tell you best of luck. We make it clear that we're here to support you for the long haul. We're welcoming new businesses to our city every day. Every ribbon cutting is a celebration of Dearborn's innovative spirit. Since last April, we've issued over 1,100 CFOs to businesses looking to place their bet on Dearborn. We're attracting new businesses by investing in core building blocks of community development, parks, sustainability, ease of service, and workforce. We believe our city is as competitive as ever, but most importantly, we don't have to compete by being something that we are not. We're competitive because of who we are, and our entrepreneurial spirit is benefiting communities across the country because locals starting the business ideas in our city are now expanding them from coast to coast and even globally, and we're damn proud of that. Who we are, our story, is arguably our greatest asset after our people. For decades, we've served as a capital of innovation, shaping the future of the auto industry and modeling American ingenuity to the world. But we've also served as a capital of immigration, always holding space in our city for anyone who dares to dream of a better life for their families. And we've served as a world-class hometown known for its excellent public services. When I took office, I felt that our story needed an additional chapter. I wanted Dearborn to be the city that gets creative about solving problems, a city that took initiative and did not cede this responsibility to others. At the height of the pandemic, we faced a problem not seen in over a century. At one point, Dearborn had the highest infection rate for COVID-19 in the state of Michigan. And far too many of us know someone who passed away in those difficult years. As someone trained in public health, I asked myself, what is our responsibility at the local level to protect the health of our communities? As a state rep, I devoted my career to environmental and health advocacy, doing everything in my power to protect the air we breathe and the water we drink. But like you, I thought we could do much more at the local level. That's why one of my first actions as mayor was to establish a Department of Public Health to answer the question, what more can we do? In just over a year since its launch, DPH has done a whole lot. During a national shortage, we secured baby formula to assist parents that were kept up at night, and we distributed it for free. And every single day, DPH is fighting for those battling substance and opioid use disorder. If anyone watching today is fighting that battle, we want you to know that we have your back. We know it's hard, we know there are many barriers, but we will always have your back. Narcan is a life-saving intervention known to reverse overdoses. And thanks to our public health department, we've now distributed thousands of units of free Narcan to people across our city. That's thousands of life-saving tools in the hands of people, and we did that. And DPH secured over $100,000 in funding to initiate the first community health needs assessment in Dearborn's history. This health assessment will provide us with crucial health information to inform policies that will uplift the health of our city for generations to come. And we are proving that there is so much more that we can do. To date, DPH has brought in over 75 fellows from across Southeast Michigan to help make these ambitious ideas a reality and build the machinery for our dynamic 21st century local health department. Our Public Health Fellows Program is now the most significant public health talent pipeline in Southeast Michigan. And over the years, when we see DPH fellows doing incredible work across the U.S. or across the globe, I'll be proud to say that they got their start right here in Dearborn. I'd like to ask all the DPH fellows here to please rise and be recognized. And thank you for betting on Dearborn. Our core philosophy of local public health is that the people closest to the problems should be closest to the solutions. In the last year alone, we took legal action against several polluters in our South End neighborhood, suing to shut them down until and unless they complied with our rules. Gone are the days when fines and fees are just a cost of doing business. Unfortunately, ultimately, we want Dearborn to be a city where people are prioritized over profits each and every single time. And although we didn't talk about it publicly, one of the first acts of public health we did coming into office was to halt the sale of nearly 40 acres of green space and prevent the further industrialization of one of the most polluted neighborhoods in the state. That is public health in action. But air quality is not the only health challenge we face. I spent countless hours hauling furniture from people's basements after this last catastrophic flood. We all saw and felt the pain of so many who watched their priceless belongings pushed onto the curbs. And we felt the anxiety that came with every future rainfall that threatened to do the same. Our flood mitigation strategy began on day one. And what we said was, we can't change what we don't understand. That's why last year we initiated the first ever comprehensive study of our stormwater infrastructure to understand where exactly the vulnerabilities are. There is no one-size-fits-all solution to the flooding problem. We initiated the study so that we can tackle flooding neighborhood by neighborhood, street by street, block by block. We also know that Dearborn is a downstream community, which means we get a lot of the water runoff from some of our neighboring cities more upstream. We're working hand in hand with those communities to treat flooding as a regional issue and to figure out ways to pool our collective resources to address this collective problem. And we've begun planning the construction of rain gardens in various parts of our city, which will capture more rainwater and decrease the likelihood of flooding. In the coming months, based on what we've learned, we're going to share neighborhood-specific strategies to protect homes from flooding in the event of a catastrophic rainfall. And we're doing everything in our power to make sure we never have to go through that again. Whether you're in your home or neighborhood or out in the community, we believe in creating the conditions for safety and justice for all. Investing in people means making sure you can get from point A to point B safely, whether you're walking, biking, or driving through our city. And we heard you loud and clear that road safety is what you're most concerned about. We knew that to make our roads safer, we'd have to try out new solutions to this old and stubborn problem, that enforcement alone was not enough. So we pursued a three-pronged strategy of enforcement, education, and engineering. Beginning with our police department, under the leadership of Chief Shaheen, we shifted our enforcement priorities to focus on hazardous moving violations, directly endangering our health and safety. Our officers have prioritized violations like speeding, reckless driving, and running stop signs in residential areas. But we didn't stop there. We also invested in other traffic calming measures like speed humps, which we're piloting in three corners across our city. And in the future, we'll be announcing more creative interventions that involve totally new road designs. Most importantly, the new strategies are community-led. When we asked residents where to install speed humps throughout the city, we received nearly 700 responses within a couple days. Finally, we've stepped up our communication and education on the risks of speeding and reckless driving, including our police-led Safe Streets Dearborn campaign. We've invited citizen leaders from across the community to raise their voices, raise awareness, and to ultimately send the message that is on all of us to address this issue. Because we attack this issue from multiple angles, we've already seen some noteworthy progress. In total, car accidents in the city are down. And on stretches such as Warren Avenue, car accidents are down by as much as 15% year over year. Additionally, because of this intentional focus on moving violations, such as speeding, reckless driving, running a red light or a stoplight, we cut in half the proportion of citations issued to Black and African American drivers. In 2019, before I assumed office, 40% of all citations were given to Black and African American drivers, and in 2022, that number was cut in half, addressing a startling disparity that existed in the city for far too long. And we're not done. We've taken historic steps to increase local hiring in our police department. Today, we have a police department that is deeply respected by the community because they are in the community getting to know residents every day, serving their needs, and going beyond to respond to each neighborhood's unique concerns. Today, if you report a concern to Dearborn Police, there is a 100% follow-up rate from our neighborhood officers to ensure that your concern is resolved. And the city's ability to respond to emergencies in real time has vastly improved. When we took office, we had 26 emergency dispatchers working double overtime just to keep up with the call volumes. Following a successful labor negotiation that addressed critical needs, I'm proud to say that Dearborn United Dispatch is now fully staffed with 36 full-time personnel standing ready around the clock to assist the public. At the same time, Dearborn Fire continues its tradition of excellence as a nationally recognized leader in both fire safety and emergency response. Our police, fire, and dispatch personnel have done an exceptional job keeping the city safe. So let's ask our first responders to please rise and thank you for all that you do day in and day out. In everything we do, we are ultimately accountable to you, the taxpayers of Dearborn. When you pay taxes, you are entering into a civic contract that the city will deliver the services you expect and make the quality of life investments you deserve. When I entered office, the city's future was at risk. We faced a structural deficit of over $20 million at the same time that many of our public spaces and facilities had not been maintained in decades. In that situation, conventional wisdom says that you should cut services and defer investments. But we didn't come in to recycle conventional wisdom. We came here to change it. I'm proud to say that this spring, we submitted our first balanced budget in nearly 20 years as a city. And we did it without cutting a single essential service our residents expect. We did it by getting smarter and by betting on Dearborn workers who care about the community they serve by bringing services back in-house. We did it by bringing in over $25 million in grants to double down on needed investments rather than deferring them. Today, Dearborn stands on stronger financial ground. We're a growing city with a bright future. And because we've gotten our fiscal house in order, we can begin shaping the future that we want. We will continue to dream big for our city, because this is a city with big dreams. We will continue to govern from a place of hope and not a place of fear. You don't dream big without a team. And so I want to ask my executive team to please rise and be recognized for your service. I have pushed this team for 17 months. I have pushed this team for 17 months. They are committed, they are hardworking, and they are building a strong culture within each of their respective departments. Thank you for your service to our residents. The state of our city is stronger than ever. And when people ask why there's so much excitement around Dearborn, I tell them it's simple. In Dearborn, we're built different. Whether you're a family in search of a place to raise your children, or a developer looking for an opportunity to invest, or a philanthropic institution in search of making a difference, this is the city you want to be in. Because in Dearborn, we bet on ourselves. And the safest bet anyone can make is on this place that we call home. Dearborn bets on Dearborn. I want to take this moment to thank you all so much for coming out. God bless you all. God bless your families. God bless our great city, our great state, our great nation. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy the surprise that we have outside. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Dearborn Mayor Abdullah H. Hamoud and his State of the City address, his first State of the City address since taking office in January of last year. It was given last week Tuesday at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center here in Dearborn. For more information on the address and to watch the live stream of it, well, the recording of the live stream of it, you can go to the City of Dearborn's website, cityofdearborn.org. I'm Alan Mazurek. That wraps up today's edition of the WHFR Journal. Kitty Love standing by with some blues for your Friday afternoon. Highway 61 is up next. Have a great week. This is WHFR Dearborn at 89.3, online at WHFR.fm, making waves.
Hi, this is Tom Wilson. For a great mix of avant-garde and experimental music, please tune in to the Space is the Place program every Friday from 6 until 8 p.m. right here on your favorite radio station, 89.3 WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. South of Memphis, Tennessee.